If you have your Bibles, could you turn to Colossians chapter 1? We're going to look at the first eight verses today. And as Paulie was saying, as a means of introduction, I would like to share with you a little bit of where I came from. So I was born in Philadelphia. Most of my life, addicted to heroin, right? In and out of juvies, in and out of jails. Methadone maintenance, Suboxone, the works. Couldn't get clean, couldn't stay clean, and I was very far from Jesus. All right. Grew up in a broken home, right? Drug use and abuse. Nobody in my family was saved. Nobody knew Jesus, and religion was very distasteful to me growing up. So I came up to Bangor around 2017. January 28th is when I came right from Philly. So I'm one of those guys, in my testimony, I actually tried Jesus. You ever just tried Jesus? I was one of those guys that just tried Jesus because I tried anything to stay clean, right? And it didn't work for me too well, unfortunately. So through the process of me overdosing down in Philly, I landed in a secular 28-day rehab stint, right? Just trying to get clean. And through the process, my goal, my highest desire was actually just to go to a halfway house, right? Dreams, you know what I'm saying? Goals. So I just wanted to go to a halfway house and do the 12-step thing, right? And a family from Calvary Chapel down in Delaware County, Philadelphia area, told me about residential discipleship up at Calvary Chapel, Bangor, Maine. And I said, all right, that's going to be the last place I'm going to go, okay? I'm not going up to that tundra 13 hours away, woodbugging, wearing flannels, you know, that whole thing. And don't you know that in God's providence, like he always does, right, he uses circumstances in our lives to bring us to the end of ourselves. Wouldn't you agree? And that's what he did in my life. I was sitting in this detox, this rehab, all clean and ready to go, right? Ready to go to Allentown or wherever they go for recovery. And through God's providence, every place I went to was completely shut down, right? I mean, no beds, no nothing. The only bed that was open was CRD up in Maine. And I fought it. I didn't want it. And, you know, this is my spiritual family, I call them today. They did whatever they could, right, to get me to go up there. I was smoking cigarettes at the time, and they were very convincing that I could smoke cigarettes up in this program. They didn't tell me I couldn't. It's probably the best decision they've ever made for that one. So I get up there, and, you know, I land on the church, and they take everything, and found that I couldn't smoke, and that was I wouldn't have went, right? But I'm glad that I did. And through that process, I wish I could say that I came into the program and surrendered on day one, right? But I didn't. I learned hard. I was very stubborn. And I didn't submit. I didn't want to follow Jesus. I fought. I just got thrown out quite a few times. It took me about a good 6 months before I came to the end of myself. And I remember I was sitting in the dorms, and I was ready to kill myself at this point. You know, I'm 28 right now, and that time I was about 5 years ago. So I was sitting there, and I said, I've been doing this most of my life, right, since I was 12, 13, kicked out of schools, rehabs. I'm never going to change, right? I might as well just end my life because here we go again. And in that moment, I really wish I could explain it to you or have some super spiritual explanation about what happened to me that day. But all I know is this, is that Christ spoke to my heart that day. He told me something I'll never forget. I heard this and it said, if you're going to kill yourself, you're going to throw your life away, why don't you just give it to me instead, right? And you'll die in a different way. And I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't even understand what to do about that situation. I didn't know if I was even sane anymore after that, but I just got down on my knees and I said, God, whatever this is, I want to try it, right? Because I'm a chronic relapser. I only know one thing, but I want to be something different. I want to follow Jesus. And then I came up, and then everything changed. I really don't know what happened. I guess I was regenerated, as you would say, now that I know the theological term. But at that point, I wasn't really understanding what happened to me. But I did know one thing, is I desire to serve Jesus, to follow Christ, and to help others. Right? Someone who has been rescued, I just wanted to be a rescuer. Right? Isn't that what Jesus does for us? He rescues us and redeems us. People who are rebellious and living far from him brings us into a saving relationship. And through that, he gets all the glory, doesn't he? And I knew one thing, is I just wanted to go and do the same thing for someone else, man. Because I tried everything, and it was Christ that saved me. And I wanted to bring the hope of the gospel to someone just like me, right? I don't care where you've been or where you grew up. We're all the same, right? Sin's the issue. Christ is the solution. Not 12 steps, but one, right? And that's what Jesus did. So through that process, I was coming up on graduating, right? I knew one thing. I'm not going back to Philly, all right? I was telling my brother today, I was like, listen, there's a great, great ministry needs down in Philly. It's just not my ministry, okay? It's somebody else's, right? I know I'm going to do something different this time. I'm not going to go back down there because I'll never get clean. So I said, I'm going to stay in Maine. Bought a flannel. Right? So I said, I'm going to stay up here and I'm going to serve at the church and just all these mentors were surrounding me. You know what the cool thing is, guys? You know, I got crazy ADHD. You got to bear with me. You know, down in Africa, we get to watch you guys live, the church service. Isn't that cool? You know, down with my wife and my two beautiful daughters, you know, we get to check out all the churches on live, and that's a beautiful thing. So just know that you have a family in Buea Village in Uganda that prays for your church family, and that is amazing, right? So I'm up in Maine, and I know I'm not going to Philly, so I'm going to stay up here and just serve, get plugged in. And all of a sudden, a missionary comes and speaks, Calvary Chapel Church Plant down in Uganda. And then I said, Lord, maybe I should do something different, right? I'm an extreme person, so this sounds pretty extreme. Maybe I should do something like that. So I go back, and I fast, and I pray, and the Lord directed me to go and serve in Uganda. And he orchestrated every single event with my record and passports and all that stuff, and he made a way. So upon graduation, I went to Uganda to serve the Calvary Chapel Church Plant, and I dedicated 1 year. I was going to teach the school ministry guys and disciple some young men who wanted to follow Jesus, right? So I'll give 1 year of my time to do this, and I'm coming back to Maine. And just like always, God's plans are better than ours, right? My goal was to do 1 year, come back to Maine, and through the process, I met my wife. Okay, Sylvia is a Ugandan woman. She was serving at the school, at the NGO. She was teaching the Bible classes to little kids at our school. And I was, changed, transformed, said I'm going to do this courting thing, right? So that's what I did, is I'm going to try the courting and did it all in a way that honored God. It was amazing. You know, we didn't even kiss to our wedding day, and I was super excited about that. For someone like me, that was like a huge thing, you know? I was super happy about that. We courted for about 8 months, and then, we got married. So actually, I came back here been in Africa for about 4 years, haven't visited in about 3.5, close to 4. I came up for 1 month, 2018. Believe it or not, in Africa, you have to pay a bride price or a dowry in order to marry somebody. It's crazy. So I came back up to Calvary Chapel, Bangor, and I had to raise money for some cows. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine that discussion? Right? So that was a whole new culture, whole new language. It was awesome. They're all dancing and this whole thing and this whole tribal experience. It was beautiful, right? So God provided, and we went back down, and the Lord made a way, right? The dowry was paid, and parents didn't speak English, so she was translating for me, and one thing led to another, and they approved of the marriage, and we got married, and we've been serving down there at the Calvary Chapel for a long season, right? A long season, and then just recently, since July, so about 7 months now. The Lord had called us out 6 hours from where we were, right? Where I served, where I first left to, and called us to a new area of Uganda. So I have the privilege of pastoring a new church plant that is not even a year old. It's very small, meets in a school, just mud floors and broken down desks, but it's absolutely amazing. Church family just loves God, loves God's word. Verse by verse was very foreign to them. So I'm super thankful for the way we teach the Bible. So my wife and I, we packed our house in one truck and drove 6 hours across Uganda to this new place where we took over from a pastor and his wife who were older, and they were wanting to go back to America to run things in the NGO from that side. So through God's providence, that's where we ended up. We had an interview process, and we ended up stepping into the role just recently. So we stay, we're like house parents at an orphanage. Girls' dorms, guys' dorms, it's beautiful. And then in the back, we have the church and then the school. So the church meets in the school, and it's all on one facility. And we've been doing that since July. Absolutely love what I do. I love the people there. It's a whole new language. I just learned one language, and now I have to learn a whole nother one, right? I thought I was like getting somewhere, and now I got to learn a whole nother language. And that's not easy. Languages sound very different. But I'm very thankful to my wife's language, so she's a very good teacher. So through that process, we've been there since July. My goal is to work myself out of a position, okay? We have four elders, all Ugandan men, love the Lord, good brothers. And my job is to train for me to step down and let Richard and Francis and lead the church, right? Because they will be way more effective at reaching their people than I will ever be, right? So my goal is to just help them become everything God wants them to become, which will probably take another 3 to 4 years until he'll be ready to take over the church. He's a very gifted young man, loves the Lord. He's a true blessing in my life. And the reality is uneducated, right? The passion's there, the gifts are there. But the education or the scriptural training is not there. So we teach inductive Bible studies, systematic theology, expository preaching, just different ways in order to equip them to do what God has called them to do. It's truly a blessing. My wife, she leads the women's ministry down there right now, and she loves every second of it. So we are just super thankful to be here, and one of the reasons I wanted to speak about those things is because being in Uganda, I've learned to be very thankful for things, right? Believe it or not, I am actually super excited when I get to go and take a hot shower, okay? I'm staying with some good friends of mine, and over there we just use these buckets, okay? You just fill up water, and then we bathe with a cup. So when I came, I said, listen, brother, your water bill is going to be off the charts this month because I'm sitting in your shower. I'm just sitting in it, okay? And it made me really thankful, right, for the little things. I think I had Five Guys. I've been here 10 days. I think I had Five Guys like 15 times, you know? It's just the little things that make us thankful, right? And guys, I think as Christians, we should be the most grateful and thankful people, shouldn't we? Amen. Right, because we know, we understand that we've been rescued, we've been redeemed from this death and darkness and given new life and light through the gospel of Christ, right? And as a result, we should be the most thankful people, not just with our words, but our life, shouldn't we? And so today, in this text, I want to help give you four reasons from Colossians 1, verses 1 through 8, four reasons of why you should be thankful. Four reasons of why you should be thankful. I'm going to read the text and pray, and then we'll dive in to see what God has for us. Starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it always does among you since the day that you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you that it changes and transforms our life. God, thank you that you are in the business of transforming lives. Today, tomorrow, and until you come back, God, I pray that your word would encourage us, challenge us, comfort us, and convict us. In Jesus' name, amen. So guys, please forgive me. My throat, this weather is insane. When I landed in Bangor, I had shorts and Crocs. You know, coming from Uganda, I didn't have any winter clothes. You know what I mean? We don't get winter down there. So I'm freezing. I think I lost my voice. So excuse me if I sound a little strange. Bear with me. Guys, four reasons why you should be grateful. The first reason is we have the blessing of the Word of God, right? We see that in verses 1 and 2, the blessing of the Word of God. The second thing is that we have the blessing of the church, our church family, right? That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? That's verses 3 through 5. And the third thing is the blessing of the gospel going into the world, right? Another thing we can praise God for. And the fourth thing is the blessing of individual Christians in your life, right? The blessing of individual Christians in your life, and that's verses 7 and 8. Now, going down in Uganda, the reason why I wanted to talk about being thankful is because, you know, when God has you to go somewhere, when God has you to go and minister, you really do make a difference, and it's truly an amazing thing, right? Most of my life, I hurt people, I was selfish. So to be able to just serve somebody other than myself is like a miracle, right? But in reality, I think I've been changed the most, right? I mean, when I got down there, I've never seen hospitality like that in my life. I was blown away. People that have absolutely nothing will give you everything. Inviting me into these little mud huts, one room, 6 people in a family, giving me fruits and, you know, don't eat anything if you go there. You'll get sick for weeks. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, they were just so generous, right? Just loving on you, giving you all this stuff, sharing what they have with you. They don't even have to know who you are, right? It's a blessing. It's truly amazing. And it really helped me see that these people are in church, they're raising their hands, they are praising God, and they don't even have 2 coins to rub against each other. It made me really think about things I take for granted, right? You know, the biggest problem I hear sometimes is, you know, they don't have my brand of cereal in the grocery store, or, you know, they did this because of COVID, they shut this down or something. And you go down there and the problems are completely different, man. It really makes you think, right? And that's why I really wanted to touch on thankfulness, because this whole trip, being in Uganda, it's just been so filling and thankful for me. You know, being a missionary can be very lonely at times, right? And just being up here with my brothers and my sisters and seeing my church family, it just fills me and it makes me super thankful and grateful for Christ. All right, so the first thing I want to dive into, guys, in the first 2 verses is the blessing of the Word of God, right? That is a reason we can be thankful. That is a reason we can praise God, because we have the written revelation that God gave us. The first 2 verses says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God, our Father. So, guys, as a result of Paul's apostolic ministry, we have the written word today, right? Paul was called by God to write this letter to the local church, and as a result, you and I have God's inspired holy word. Now, maybe you don't think, okay, well, there's Bibles everywhere. I have one on my couch. I got one on my table. I got one in my room. You got one in the bathroom, right? Why am I grateful for that? Right, where I come from, most people can't afford a Bible, right? Most people in our church can't even read. Right, my wife and I, we have the privilege of going to places and sitting with a brother and or family and just reading the scripture to them. My wife will translate. Because a Bible is about 50,000 Ugandan shillings, which is equivalent to about 15, 16 American dollars. And to the family, that's too much for them to be able to afford. And if they do have one, it is very torn and pages are missing, and it's one Bible for the entire family. When I say family, I'm talking generations here because everyone lives on the family land, right? You got great, great, great grandma, you got grandma, everybody's on the land. And they all share one Bible. One Bible. So the Word of God is something I've learned to cherish even more since being in Uganda, since serving in Buea, is that we have such accessibility to this, don't we? It's everywhere. We can read, we can write, we can read this and get filled. Imagine being a Christian and not being able to read God's Word to you. Right, you guys are taught well, so you know that God's Word is the number one way in which we hear from Him, don't we? Right, we know when we pray, we speak to God, and as a result, He talks to us through His Word, right? I mean, I'm a firm believer that God speaks to us through people, circumstances, and the Word of God. I know He's done in my life. But I know the number one way is through the Scripture. Right, I hear people all the time, I wish God will speak to me, right? I'm just waiting on this revelation of the Lord. I'm like, well, you should probably read it. He's already spoken to you, right? The Bible is God's number one way in which He reveals His will to us, in which He reveals how we can be saved, how we can live a life pleasing to Him, right? 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Right? And God's Word is how He speaks to us. God's Word is the number one way in which we can have a relationship with Him. There is no other book like this, is there? Right? Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active. It is the only piece of literature in the entire Word that says that as a description, right? It is alive. It is active. It does stuff, right? That's the Word of God. It changes us. It transforms us. It is how we, how God speaks to us. And I'll encourage you guys, that is something to be thankful for, isn't it? To read it, to apply it, to obey it, to proclaim it, to walk it out in your life so people can see it and be changed. Imagine you not being able to read the number one way in which God wants to have a relationship with you. You have to have somebody else read it to you. Something that I think can take for granted, right? Right, so God's Word is the number one way in which He speaks to us, right? Hebrews 1, right, verses 1 and 2 makes it clear. The author writes that in the old times, right, in the Old Testament, God spoke through various ways, doesn't He? Even spoke through a donkey, right? But in the New Testament or the church age, God spoke through who? Christ, right? John 1 makes it clear that it's the Word, right? So God wants to speak to us. God is available to know, and it's through His Word. That is how we can know Him, right? Right, so God's Word is the number one way in which He speaks to us, but God's Word is also a means in which God uses for our sanctification, doesn't He? Right, the process of becoming more like Christ, the process of becoming more aware of our sin. God's Word is a tool or a vehicle in which God uses to change us over time, right? Matthew 11, famous word, I think it's Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. It's a very famous passage, but Christ makes this statement, "Come to me, all who are weary," right? And then I'll give you rest, right? So we see a command, "Come to me," and then the promise, "I will give you rest." Right, this process of sanctification, Jesus says, come to me just as you are. But I love you too much to leave you as you are, right? And in that beautiful verse, we see an amazing truth, is that God calls not the worthy, but the weary, right? That's me. I was tired, man. Tired of trying to get clean on my own. Tired of walking around this revolving doors of rehabs and rehabilitation centers and various different things until I finally came to Christ. And He gave me rest. Rest of trying to tirelessly earn my way to God, to be acceptable on my own righteousness apart from Christ's imputed righteousness. Never works. Right? So God's Word, as we read it, as we believe it, as the Holy Spirit guides it into our lives, as we obey it, proclaim it, and share it, it changes us and transforms it, doesn't it? So God's Word is not just how He speaks to us. God's Word is also a tool in which He uses to sanctify us, right? To change us. God's Word also is a vehicle in which God will use to bring us to faith, right? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. The more the gospel is proclaimed, the more it is preached, the more it is taught, it stirs something in us, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I was coming to know Christ, it was through verse-by-verse teaching of God's word, right? Right, because you can look outside and know that there's a God. Psalm 19 makes this evidently clear. In Psalm 19, the first six verses talks about, the whole psalm talks about two ways in which God reveals himself. First six verses, or seven, says God reveals himself through general revelation, or the creation, right? We can look outside, we can know that there's a God because of the sun, because of the mountains, and because of that giant elephant that's in Uganda. I know that there's a God, right? That baboon that just crossed the street, right? I know that there's a God. But it's not enough to know who he is personally, isn't it? The second half of that psalm is about specific revelation, or the Bible. God reveals himself through his word to us, doesn't he? We know the heart of Christ, right? Just like anything else. If I want to meet you, if I want to explain who I am to you, if we want to build a relationship, I got to speak to you, right? If you just have someone that just doesn't talk, just sits in the corner, you're not even going to know who he is, right? You can't build a relationship with somebody like that. As human beings, we were designed for relationship, weren't we? And one of the ways that we can communicate is through our words, right? We're made in God's image, guys. Same is true for Christ. We know Christ because he revealed himself to us through his word. He spoke to us, didn't he? And that's how we know who he is. Right, so God's word is the number one way in which he speaks to us. God's word is a tool used in the process of our sanctification. God's word is a means in which we can come to faith. And God's word is a means in which blessing comes through obedience, doesn't it? God, throughout the scriptures, promises time and time again that as we learn to obey him through his word, we're blessed, aren't we? You guys remember this parable, the story that Jesus tells? I believe it's in the Sermon on the Mount, maybe Matthew 6 or 7, where Jesus tells this story. It says there's two people, right? You guys are familiar with this. They build their house, right? One builds on the sand, one builds on the rock, right? And then storms and wind and all these circumstances come. And the person who built on the sand, what happens? The house falls, right? But the one who built on the rock stands, right? And then what does Jesus say after that? He says, so it is to those who listen to my words and obey them. In other words, he says, if you read the scriptures and obey what it says, you'll be like the man who built his house on the rock, right? You see, both people had the same house. Foundation was different. Materials were the same. Circumstances were the same. They probably even went to the same church, right? What happened? One was a doer of God's word, one was just a hearer, right? James speaks profoundly about that. So through God's word, he promises obedience, right? The blessing of obedience, right? So I think that we can all agree to be thankful for God's word, can't we? The second thing we can be thankful for is the blessing of the church as a whole. Would you guys please read with me verses 3 through 5a? We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You see, this is something we can be thankful for. And as you guys know, when the Bible speaks of the church, right, we know there's the universal church, all of God's people all around the world in different locations, right? Our church down in Buea, Uganda, watching services here and praying for this church family. But you guys never heard of Buea before till today, right? You had people praying for you this whole time. You see, the other way that God in his word uses church is through the local church, doesn't he? Most of the New Testament letters were written to local churches. I think that should tell us something, right? Right, the church of one family gathered in one specific location, gathering to serve one another, to use their gifts to edify and to glorify, right? To bring glory to God and to bring good to each other. Right, God designed the local church to be a means in which he reaches the world, doesn't he? Through this church, through us as individual Christians gathered as one body, we go out to the mission field, don't we? We don't stay here, we go out. Right? We leave. Every day we leave is the mission field, isn't it? But I always tell people, guys, listen, just because I'm in Africa, I'm not just, you guys, everyone's a missionary who leaves this church and goes out on the street for Christ, okay? That's serving Jesus. And that comes from the gathered body of the local church, right? The church comes together to worship Christ, to hear the teaching and preaching of God's word, to get equipped according to Ephesians 4, and to go out to do the work of the ministry. Okay, believe it or not, the pastor is not one responsible for all the ministry. I don't know if I just blew your bubble, but in Uganda, that's what everybody thinks, right? Everybody expects, you know, they want me to do everything half the time. I'm like, listen, guys, I can't do it. I don't have like 20 gifts, okay? I can't do the guitar. I can't do, you know, all this other stuff. But guess what? You guys can, right? God has gifted you in ways he hasn't gifted me, and he wants to use you for his glory. Actually, according to Ephesians 4, the role of the pastor and the teacher is to what? Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It doesn't say the pastor does all of the ministry. I don't know what translation that is, but I haven't read it. Right? So think about that, guys, for a second. That God knows you, wants to use you, your gifts, your talents, to your sphere of influence, whatever that may be, to reach people for his glory in a way I will never be able to do it. That's amazing, right? That is the blessing of the local church. You think about missions, right? Or missionaries, various different ministries that come from the local church, right? I can only do what I do because of local churches, right? Right, that's a form of tithe, isn't it? To bring glory to God, but also God uses the tithe as a tool to grow us, doesn't he? Because we want to be dependent or secure in finances. You see, what the local church does blesses the universal church through its obedience, right? That is a blessing that God has for it. And the church is all of us here, guys. It's simply those who have been rescued and redeemed by Christ out of sin, who have been set apart from the world and set apart to his glory. That's the church, isn't it? You and me, man. I know down in Uganda, people are so religious, okay? Very religious. Going to church, going to the building. That's great to have a building. You know, I'm trying to fix ours up right now. What happens when it gets blown up, right? What happens when it gets shut down because you have a tyrannical government? Then what, you don't go to church? When our church was closed through various reasons, you know what we did? We met in homes. Met my home, met some of the elders' homes. We had church because it wasn't a building, it was the people, right? We gathered together, we opened the scriptures, we served and loved one another, and we worshiped our Christ no matter what. Because that's what God calls us to do. One of the blessings of the local church is that we were actually called to serve one another, aren't we? Remember John 13, great passage of scripture. Jesus says, the world will know you're my disciples by the way you what? Love one another, right? Not by how well you preach, not by how much money you give to the church, but how well you love one another, right? Because get this, guys, the way we live is actually a testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? You get people like us, like me, junkie, criminal, married with two kids, serving Jesus, never would have thought that would be possible, right? But because of God, all of us, same story, right? Sinner, saved by grace. It's that simple. You see, the blessing of the local church and the universal church is truly amazing because Christ purchased it with his own blood, didn't he? It's not my church. It's not anybody's church. It's the Lord's church, right? We are the church. That's amazing. When I think of my daughters and my wife, I know the greatest influence to the gospel and for the glory of Christ is how I treat my wife, isn't it? Especially in a culture that's radically different. A culture that degrades women, right? Objectifies them. And then they see me move into the village doing a bunch of stuff that just is not okay, right? People say in our school of ministry, so you guys are familiar with jerry cans, right? These yellow, big things you fill up with water, right? So what happens is the women in the village, they go and pretty much do everything, man. They're rock stars. Okay, they go and they collect the water, they get it in the thing, they're carrying it on their head, they got the baby on the back, they're champs. And then you got the dudes just chilling, like looking at them, you know? I was pulling up in the ministry van one day, I rolled down the window, I saw the school ministry guys just staring at this woman with a baby on her back and a jerry can on her head. I said, yo guys, what's up? You wanna go help her out? Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? And then they're like, oh man, we don't do that in our culture. Like, well, that's about to change today, right? Because guess what, guys? The Bible offends every culture, doesn't it? Even ours, the most, right? Can't even open this thing today. Right, so how we love one another, guys, how we lay our lives down as a result of what Christ has done for us, and we do it for each other, can testify and change and even bring people to Christ. I came to Christ because a family was obedient to love me like Jesus did when I didn't know what that was. Okay? You will have an impact on someone, you won't even know it. Right, so my job, I just want to encourage you guys. I just want to be thankful with you because of what Christ has done for us, right? Right, so we can be thankful, guys, for the blessing of the Word of God. We have the blessing of the church as a whole. And the third thing, guys, that we could be thankful for is that we have the blessing of the gospel going into the world, the blessing of the gospel. Would you guys look at the second half of verse 5 and 6 with me, please? It says, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. So guys, let me ask you this question. When you see the gospel bearing fruit in your life and in the lives of those around you, how should you respond? Gratitude, right? Right, one of the things that the gospel does is it never leaves you the same. You see, down in Uganda, when you go in and share the gospel with people, they will say, well, you know, I don't need the gospel because I'm a good person. Imagine that. I'm a good person. I said, oh, that's cool. Why are you a good person? Get this. Because I have one wife. So, well, that's a start. You know what I'm saying? Because down there, they got like three wives. Our neighbor had like three wives. I'm like, honey, you know, I don't know. I can barely do one. I don't know, I can do three, you know? But that's how people do it, you know? And it's insane. And I ask them, or they'll say, because I'm not a drunkard, as they'll say. I don't drink. Alcohol has taken over Africa, right? It's huge. I'm not a drunkard. I don't drink. I have one wife. I do this and I do that. In other words, they're saying, I have a works-based righteousness. I have the gospel of self-righteousness. That's why I'm saved, right? We're very familiar with that, right? So you guys are very familiar with resumes. Well, in Uganda, we have something called CVs. They're the same thing. But in a resume, what you do is you fill out all of the good things about yourself, right? You put your academic achievements, you put some references so people can call and they can tell you all this great stuff about you, right? In other words, it's a piece of paper that makes you look like you're better than everybody else and why they should hire you over the next guy, right? But in reality, guys, we all do that with God, don't we? We go to God with our spiritual resumes and we try to show him why we're more righteous than the next guy, don't we? We say, God, you see what I just did? Yo, do you see how much I just gave in church? Call the news, right? That's what we do. Right, we try, in other words, Paul addresses this in the whole entire letter to the Galatian church and in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. He addresses this false teaching called legalism. Right, you guys have heard it before. Legalism is simply anything that you look to outside of Christ to make you acceptable before God. That could be your church attendance, right? How much you give, even ministry, right? You see, guys, believe it or not, as Christians, we need to repent, not just from our sin, but even from our good works, don't we? And I tell them the same thing. People sometimes don't understand, right? They think they're saved or they don't need the gospel because they're good people. And I tell them, guys, the goal of the gospel is not to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. That is the point of why Christ came, isn't it? Not to make you good. If that was the case, Jesus didn't need to come. Right? Right? Because what separates Christianity from every other religion is grace. Right? We're surrounded by mosques. We're surrounded by different faith all the time. And the beauty of the gospel is it's a rescue mission, isn't it? It's the fact that every other religion says you need to work your way to God, and Christianity says God worked his way down to us. And that is the message of the gospel, isn't it? The beauty of Christianity. And when the gospel goes forth, when the gospel bears fruit in your life, when you're changed and those around you are changed, we respond with a heart of joy and thankfulness, because the gospel does what it's always going to do, change and transform lives. God saves through the preaching, proclaiming, and sharing in the gospel, doesn't he? Called to evangelism, called to share the good news of Christ. That's one of the blessings that I have the privilege of doing with our church family, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. Right, so we have the blessing of the word of God, right? We have the blessing of the church. Whoops. We have the blessing of the gospel. And the last one, guys, is we have the blessing of individual Christians in your life. Would you guys look with me with the last two verses? Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And guys, I'm going to conclude with this point here, is that that is something we can be thankful for. Now, you guys probably know the Apostle Paul did not plant this church, right? If you read through the book of Acts, he had three missionary journeys. He did much of church planting, but he did not plant this one. Another Christian brother did. And he recognizes that. And in this entire section, he's actually bringing glory to God by praying and thanking God for the gospel in the work at this church. Because Paul is blessed, Paul is thankful because of what Jesus has done through this church, right? Think about it. I know we all have people in our lives that we can be thankful for. I know I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for other people in my life. Showing me, that's why I loved coming up here. People showed me what it looked like to be a man, showed me what it looked like to treat a wife and to have kids. I didn't know how to do that stuff, or I thought I did. It was just really distorted, right? If it wasn't for people coming alongside me to mentor me and to love me and to serve me, I would never be standing here, and I would have been dead a long time ago. And that's a fact. Right, I have never been more thankful for my church family until I left to go to Uganda 4 years ago. Because it gets lonely on the mission field, guys. I'm a very extroverted person, so I am losing my marbles sometimes, right? So I'm just thankful to be able to come back in the States. I am thankful for individual Christians in my life. Shouldn't we be? Let's pray, guys. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for who you are and what you've done, God. We thank you for the message of thanksgiving, not just a feeling, God, not just one day a year, but a lifestyle of thanksgiving. God, we thank you for the blessing of the word of God. We thank you for the blessing of the church. We thank you for the blessing of the gospel, and we thank you for the blessing of individual Christians in our life. Lord, I pray that you would change us, you would sanctify us, you would set us apart for your glory. And God, help us love you and love those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.